Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up for conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Welcome to Bible Talk as we gather again, talking about our favorite subject, God's Word, the Bible. And it's so nice having all of you join us. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Yes, we're so happy to be here and to have you listening in to our conversation with Pastor Joe as we continue our look at the topic of revival and how our Lord used his servants through the ages, like Augustine, who we're continuing to look at and learn from in our discussion today. Now, as I said, we're here with Pastor Joe. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. I'm so blessed to be with you again today, as I am usually.
And it's so nice having you join us, Pastor Joe.
Yes.
Now, if you missed any segment of this series or would like to listen again or invite someone else to listen in, you can. Just go to firstloveradio.org and scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. That's firstloveradio.org. Now, Pastor Joe, let's get into it.
There's so many different lessons that we can take from Augustine's life and his testimony, and we can see that even when Augustine wasn't following his mother and wasn't living the life of a Christian, God was definitely present in Augustine's life and was preparing him, even during that time, like he did the Apostle Paul before his conversion. Pastor Joe, could you speak a little bit about Augustine's early journey as he entertained various philosophies and worldly teachers? And this later came to bear when he became a Christian.
Yes, well, God wastes nothing in a believer's life, nothing. He uses everything, directly and indirectly, to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. While Augustine was in Carthage, for example, still a young man, probably in his early 20s, he left the Christian church, the church of his mother, to follow the Manichaean religion. Manichaeism was founded by Mani, was a syncretic form of Gnosticism, which taught a dualistic view of good and evil. Gnosticism taught that everything that is materialistic is evil, and everything that is of the spirit is good. So creation was seen as flawed and under the equal influences of light and darkness. So Gnosticism is seen as, of course, a heresy, and it taught that creation was flawed and under the influences of both light and darkness. While in Carthage, Augustine began to move away from this school of thought, which is good, and he entirely left the influence and belief of Gnosticism and Manichaeism when he was in Milan. So he was greatly influenced by the writings of the philosophers Virgil, Cicero, and Aristotle, as he entertained various worldly philosophies and worldly teachers.
Yes, and as he progressed on, he was a professor of rhetoric, which is speech. Was this another gift and skill that the Lord was using to groom Augustine for later use in life?
Well, you mentioned that he was a teacher of rhetoric. He actually became a professor of rhetoric at the age of 20 or 21. I mean, that's really young. Back then, the lifespan was very short, and they really began at an early age in many, many areas of life and society. But by the age of 30, he was one of the premier academicians in the Latin world, teaching rhetoric at the Imperial Court of Milan, for example. And there he continued to fall lower and lower into hedonism and immorality, took on another lover, leaving his other longtime lover. But he had many skills. Augustine had many gifts. One of them was that he was a prolific writer. He's best known for his book, Confessions, which is really a personal account of his life and his testimony, very detailed account, and it's a wonderful story. It's a true story of what God did in his life and bringing him to salvation, to faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a description of all the influences that he had upon himself from an early age on up. He also wrote a book called The City of God, written to encourage Christians about the nature of the kingdom of God. And this was written after the fall of Rome by the Visigoths in AD 410. But he remains one of the most influential thinkers in history. He's one of the church's greatest theologians. His ideas of memory and the nature of time, for example, form the framework of our modern understanding of those concepts, including the biblical idea that God exists outside of time in eternity. Augustine, who was himself heavily influenced by the works of Virgil and Cicero and Aristotle and other philosophers, also exerted an influence on secular philosophers such as Kierkegaard and Nietzsche. Also, his works strongly affected the ideologies of such church figures as Thomas Aquinas and Bernard of Clairvaux. Later, during the Reformation, leaders such as Martin Luther and John Calvin looked to Augustine for inspiration. They learned a lot from Augustine, and many of their concepts of the scriptures were formed and shaped, that is, Luther and Calvin, by Augustine's commentaries. And there are still many modern Reformed theologians who still look to Augustine as a key source for their own writings. Much of Reformed doctrine, especially in relationship to predestination, original sin, the bondage of the will, and efficacious grace, has been attributed to the work of Augustine. So among his other influential views, Augustine pioneered the idea of two aspects of the church, the visible and invisible church. Now, these are not emanating from Augustine. These are rooted in Scripture. They're biblical ideas. But he articulated these truths and backed it up from Scripture. He also advanced the doctrine of a just war to defend innocent people and to defend nations that are defending themselves against attack. And he also brought out the importance from Scripture about preserving peace. So for both Protestants and Catholics, it's very difficult to measure Augustine's effect on church history. He had a powerful, powerful, perhaps more than any other theologian in church history, effect upon the church for good.
Right. You talk about all of those different influences that he had and different philosophies that he was interested in and studied. And you can see how God used that. Another person he was really interested in, as you had mentioned, Pastor Joe, was Ambrose the Bishop. Now, that leads us to talking about his conversion, because after he had moved to Milan as a professor for rhetoric, he began attending the cathedral just to hear the impressive oratory of Ambrose the Bishop. And he began attending because of Ambrose's teaching. Could you speak to the power and the necessity for faithful preaching as we read in Romans 10, verse 17? Rich, would you read that verse for us?
Sure.
Do you have it there?
Yes. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Right, and that comes to mind when you think that he was so drawn to Ambrose's preaching. Could you speak to that, Pastor Joe, about the necessity for those who are gifted and for preachers who can talk about the gospel and the word of God?
Well, I don't know where we'd be without the word of God and also the faithful preaching of the word of God. We need to understand that God designed and ordained preaching the gospel and preaching and teaching the word of God in general to the saving of souls and to the teaching and discipleship of people who become Christians. It's an amazing miracle and mystery at how God planned to use not only preachers in the pulpit, preachers who proclaim the gospel the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, as well as the verse-by-verse teaching of the Word of God, but also believers in general, any Christian, is responsible to share the Word of God. And so even though they are not officially called to be a pastor or minister of the gospel yet, every believer is like a mini preacher in the role we have and that God has given to us in sharing and spreading the Word of God. And God has designed in eternity past a critical role for the Bible, for the Word of God. We learn about salvation. We learn about God himself, his nature, his being, his attributes. Actually, we learn who God is through the preaching of the Word of God. We read in 2 Timothy 2:15 in the Bible, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So the Apostle Paul exhorts Timothy and all pastors to properly interpret and accurately interpret the Word of God, to get down deep into the deep mysteries and weightier matters of the truth so that pastors and teachers can feed people with the simple things of God's Word, which we call the milk of the Word, as well as the deeper things or the meat of the Word. God wants the whole counsel of God, the full banquet table, both the entrees and the desserts and the appetizers, the coffee, the tea, the water, all of the various levels of depth from the top to the bottom of the nourishing Word of God to feed people who are interested and curious about God and who are searching for truth about who the true God is. There are many false gods, but it is the proper, faithful teaching and preaching of the Word of God that presents the only God, the true God. And we need to get deep into our teaching. We need to unpack the depths of the riches and truths of God's Word so that we can provide as much understanding and comprehension about the true God as we possibly can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Again, we see here God ordained the foolishness of the message preached to save people. This phrase, foolishness of the message preached, is interesting. It is not suggesting that the gospel and the Word of God and its teaching is foolish. It is not disparaging or denigrating the Word of God. It means that God, in his great plan and in a great mystery, saves people, changes their lives, gives them a new heart, a new lifestyle, a new love in their life, a new priority and goal, a salvation through hearing the teaching and preaching of God's Word. So we learn then that in Titus 1:3, God has in due time manifested his word through preaching. And we read in Romans 10:14-15, "How then shall they call in him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And so God again emphasizes that he raises up preachers and sends them to preach a word, his word, the Bible, which falls on the ears of the saved and the unsaved alike. And in God's great mystery and plan, he causes through the power and the illuminating work of his Spirit, people to understand the Word of God where they previously could not understand it, and people to appreciate the Word of God where they previously considered it foolishness and ridiculous. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to the mind, the heart, the spirit of a person, so that their response to the word and the way they relate to the word is completely opposite from before, when they considered the word of God as a silly thing. They now appreciate it, they love it, they're changed by it, they're informed by it, and they're fed by that word. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." For the unsaved person who is not enlightened by the Holy Spirit under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God becomes a closed book. It remains foolishness to them. That's why some people can hear the Word taught and preached and not be changed, and others can hear the Word of God preached and be converted, become Christians, and be nourished by that Word. The difference is the Holy Spirit applies the preached and taught Word to some people, and He doesn't to others. And that's why some get saved and some don't get saved. But to those of us who are saved, who hear the preaching of the Word of God with the correct hearing, with the correct attitude, and mingled with faith, because for some the Word of God did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and them that heard it, we will prosper, we will grow. We will grow from hearing the Word of God if we hear it with faith, and it becomes the power of God to us. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
And the thing that's so freeing, I think, is what it also says in the Bible, is that it's not our presentation. It's the Word of God that carries the power, where God will open up their spiritual eyes if He's going to do that. It's through hearing His Word. He can speak for Himself. So it's not that we have to be so clever in presenting it, but just so that we present the Word of God, and then God uses that to open people's spiritual eyes. It's like His tool, wouldn't you say? The Word of God is the tool that He uses to bring people to Himself.
Yes, and that's why Jesus said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." The Pharisees heard the same preaching and teaching of our Lord Jesus as everyone else did, but they did not profit from it because the Holy Spirit did not open their eyes with the Word. Plus, the Pharisees did not believe the Word when they heard it from Christ. The difference being is the Holy Spirit. So that when the Holy Spirit applies the Word of God to our hearts and minds by His mighty power, He shines the light, the burning light of God inside of us, and He provides the ability and the grace for us to be able to profit from the Word and be changed by the Word of God. All of the clever programs and methodologies that the church and pastors devised to try to change people's lives and bring people into the kingdom and bring them into the church, they may get a big response. They may fill church buildings with warm bodies to overflowing. But no one can change a person's heart. No one can make them a Christian except the Holy Spirit, deep, deep down into the DNA of how and where conversions take place in the human heart. Accept the Holy Spirit, take the Word of God and apply it to the human mind and heart. We find a wonderful text describing this in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. The clear reference there is the renewal of the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and washes or applies it to the heart and mind of a person, which brings about regeneration or the new birth.
Yes. And as we're talking here about revival, while we're looking at the pillars of faith that were involved in times of revival, we're finding that there were a verse or two that really spoke to each one and turned their world upside down. Let's look at what verses spoke to Augustine in that way. It said that one afternoon while walking in his garden, Augustine heard a child singing a song repeatedly saying, "Take up and read, take up and read." On a table lay a collection of Paul's epistles he had been reading. He picked it up and read the first thing he saw, which was Romans 13, verses 13 through 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is a defining moment in Augustine's life. He had lived a very loose and worldly lifestyle. Could you talk about how God's Word, even a single verse, can change lives?
Well, like I indicated earlier, the Word of God is powerful, and it's in changing a person's life. Look at your life, Rich. Look at your life, Bobby. Look at my life. When we came under the hearing and the teaching of the Word of God, we were not the same person when we finished listening. And so the Bible is indeed the most powerful tool in changing a person's life. We gain great insight into the power of the Word to change us from Hebrews 4:12. It's probably the most insightful, the most illuminating verse in the Bible that teaches us what happens when the Holy Spirit opens the ears and eyes and hearts of somebody hearing the Word of God. It says there, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, look at the adjectives that God uses to describe the power of the Word of God. First, living, then powerful, then sharper. Then he uses the metaphor, fourthly, of a sword. Next, the word piercing. So we have living, powerful, sharper, sword, and piercing. Four verbs and one noun. And so we learn that, spiritually speaking, the Word of God is unlike any other cognitive word or read word, whether it be a book or whether it be listening to a speech or whether it be reading a newspaper or reading a textbook. When the Holy Spirit takes hold of the Word of God and applies it to the human understanding and the human heart, it becomes a living thing. It becomes very powerful. It's like a razor blade. It's very sharp and cuts very deeply. It's like a sword, and it pierces. It goes down and down and down, and it keeps going down, as this verse teaches, to a place that is described as the division of soul and spirit. In other words, the very center of our moral and spiritual being. And another metaphor is used to describe that place. It says, "and of joints and marrow." First, division of soul and spirit. Secondly, of joints and marrow. And so the center of our bones is both the bone marrow as well as the most key place of our bones that makes us work and move is our joints, the elbows and the knees and the hips. That's the real center place of where we move and how we move is the joints, and the very core of our body is the marrow, the bone marrow. And so he's saying that the Word of God, under the application of the Holy Spirit, goes to the center of our spiritual and moral being, and it serves as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God provides a critical service for the listener when he is under conviction and illumination and understanding of the preached word. The Word of God provides discernment or understanding that we previously did not have. The Word of God gives us spiritual understanding or insight into the mysteries of the gospel and of the kingdom that we did not understand previously. Specifically, it helps us understand our own motives and intentions. The Word of God shines into our hearts like a light for us to understand our own motives, priorities, purposes, and intentions that we didn't understand before. And it helps us see how wretched and vile and selfish and egotistical and narcissistic our own lives and thoughts and purposes are. And this leads to deep conviction of sin. It leads to helping us understand that the Word of God is the trustworthy standard of morality and of how we obtain salvation and understanding the message and the way of salvation. The Word of God also teaches us in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the Word of God was the instrument of the new birth, having been born again through the Word of God, or the teaching of the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow by it. And so again, the power of the Word of God, even a single verse can change my life, can change your life as we take the Word of God in, as if we're eating a meal, as if we're nourishing our spirits and our minds, as if we're progressing on the path of learning how to be saved, or just after we become Christians, like a new baby, we grow through the powerful reading and meditation of the Word of God that feeds us like milk to a baby. And then we read in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. Again, we understand through this verse that the Word of God works effectively in us, in our hearts and minds, to change us. It powerfully transforms us into the very image of God Himself.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the Scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. That's P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. 94568 is the zip code. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. And be sure, whenever you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back at the same time tomorrow and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.